Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John Couch, my buddy on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the program. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show as we kick off the first full week of April, April the 6th, 2020. We are broadcasting and maintaining and practicing safe distancing while bringing people together from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and piggybacking with kvoi.com. All of the podcasts available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Live line number 790-2040. The Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framely. Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, and during the coronavirus crisis, Mo is open for one-on-one appointments only. You can call ahead, 795-8226, arrange a time with Mo or Corinne. No interruptions, no other customers. Mo will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. Again, that number to set up your appointment, one-on-one appointment. The front door's closed and locked. They are not open for business, only one-on-ones. 795-8226 on the web at moesgallery.com. Every Monday, we do kick off the program and the week with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring our team of commentators. We're doing this, of course, telephonically. It's not the way I like to do it. I like to have our commentators here with me so I can see the whites of their eyes, right? We have Bruce Ash on the phone line to my right. He is the fourth-term Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And on our phone line to my left, Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Bill.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. And Don, I want to begin with you, and rightly so. Welcome back to the United States. You had a bucket list trip, 4 weeks, a trip in Antarctica, trip of a lifetime. Antarctica, I believe, the only continent without a case of CV. But anyway, you came back into the real world. You finally got home. It was a struggle. What was the big change you noticed? I mean, when you left for your trip, things were pretty much as normal in the United States and now so different. What are some of your thoughts quickly, Don?
Well, that's right. We left a month ago today. And at that time, the president said, go live your lives. Don't worry about a thing. And the irony was, during that time of, and as I described it, we spent 18 days on a 12-day cruise. But during that time, we were the healthiest people in the safest place on the planet.
Yep.
So it was fascinating coming from that. There were 162 people on this. It was a small expedition ship, 162 passengers and crew, zero virus, no illness. The biggest change was coming back and going from that small group with no social distancing, not needed, into a completely different world. Although I think, Bill, it was in many ways easier for us to come back into it, because when we arrived back in Tucson just 9 days ago, we were prepared for everything to be shut down. We kind of knew what we were coming back to with regard to social distancing. We walked off the ship in masks and gloves. And went through that whole process. So I think mentally, in a lot of ways, it was easier because we weren't hit with the day-to-day restrictions and changes and confusion that everyone here had to deal with for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah, and some of it.
And of course, we went from a small cabin for 3 weeks to now our house and backyard and patio. So no complaints.
Bruce Ash, how are you doing today, Bruce?
We're doing great. We celebrated our younger son's birthday yesterday, 36th birthday. Had our little grandson swimming in the jacuzzi, learning how to blow bubbles, and we're all adjusting all adjusting to what we hope will be a temporary situation that improves and allows us to return to our normal lives very soon.
This whole campaign 2020 really is transforming right before our eyes, with the calendar, the pace, the content of the race, all undergoing really radical shifts just in the past 2 weeks. Don and Bruce, begin with you, Don. We just heard Wisconsin, they were going to try to hold the primary election tomorrow. They have decided now to postpone it, like other states, Don Jorgensen, until June.
That's right. The Republicans actually going to court still today to try to hold it tomorrow because they want as small a turnout as possible. You know, it's another approach at voter suppression, which we've become accustomed to seeing from the right. The governor, though, wisely is putting the people's health and safety and lives ahead of political expediency. And so he has determined to postpone the in-person voting until June 9th. The mail-in voting can still continue. And it was simply that, putting the health and lives of the people of Wisconsin ahead of a political calculation. And that's the right thing to do, without question.
Bruce?
Well, I'm not going to comment on Don's politicization of the Wisconsin situation. I know that in the Republican Party here in Arizona, we have converted our own state presidential convention into a virtual convention. Our votes will be electronically made, and our results have an audit trail so that we know that the votes were taken correctly and properly, all the right people voted. And we'll actually have a virtual convention with a TV camera and a studio where the convention will be conducted. You know, there's lots of talk about what might or might not happen at Republican and Democrat national conventions later in the summer. We'll see. You know, part of the reason that that parties try to complete their primary processes no later than the first Tuesday in June typically is that you know, there's a lot of organization and qualifications that delegates have to go through in order to be vetted and properly credentialed and admitted into these national conventions. So, you know, everybody's sort of scrambling, I think the cooperation that's been exhibited all through this country is quite amazing. I mean, I know in our own company, Paul Ash Management Company, we've now gone to what amounts to a completely remote operating office. All of our people, though, none of them are missing a beat. We're working together. You know, we're very concerned about everybody's health, and I think most employers feel the same way. And, you know, we're going to make it through this. We're working together. This is not about politics. This is about a war that we don't have with each other. It's a war to get rid of this damn virus and get healthy and safe again.
Don, the convention has been delayed, right? There's been pushback, the Democratic convention, and Joe Biden is now talking about there is a possibility we may need to think about an all-male in presidential election. Some of your thoughts about that?
Well, that's right. The Democrats at this point have decided to move the Democratic National Convention from July into August. I think it's been rescheduled, I think, just the week before the Republican convention. The Democrats still plan to have it in Milwaukee. But again, Vice President Biden is looking at reality and then putting the health and safety of Americans first. Is open to establishing, if necessary, a virtual convention, as Bruce just described, in the state for Republicans. It is possible to do it. It obviously would be unprecedented, but so much of what's happening now is unprecedented and possible to do so because we just don't know when the turnaround will happen, you know, when that curve starts heading back downward in terms of being able to predict health and safety with regard to the reduction in the coronavirus death and such that's taking place right now. The president keeps acting or talking as if that they'll be we'll be able just to flip a switch at some point and everyone can go back to work and resume their normal lives. And I think, as Bruce just said, we don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know what form that's going to take. And so that kind of discretion and caution and deliberate approach that Vice President Biden is taking and looking ahead at this convention is certainly the right approach and the smart way to look at it. But it's a long time between now and August.
Bruce, would you hold your response, please, so I can now talk about Mona's Danish Bakery?
Go sell some stuff. I'm all for it.
I am certainly going to try. And we were up at Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, yesterday. And I'll tell you, we got up there about 12, and the bakery case looked pretty picked over, which is really good news. That means a lot of people were stopping by Mona's, picking up their bakery goods, taking some quiches to go. Everything, of course, is to go. The lobby, there's no in-lobby dining, but certainly you can walk into Mona's and buy your bakery goods. Boy, the bread. Folks had really gone for the bread yesterday, and who wouldn't? That great bread at Mona's. So there's a couple ways you can do this. You can walk in, make your order, take your goods, and of course they have little spots on the floor now about the 6 foot safe distancing as you wait in line, and then you take your goods to go. Or you can call ahead, go to monasdanishbakery.com. Their phone number is there. It's 579-1959, and just say, hey, I'll be up in about 20 minutes. Pick up my quiche and a couple of maybe some brownies like we did yesterday and some peanut butter cookies. And wow, I'll tell you, I wonder if people are gaining a lot of weight during this shut-in period. I'll tell you, the always good eating at Mona's Danish Bakery, and there's a link to Mona's at buckmastershow.com and a link to all of our great sponsors. We'll be right back. Of course, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Call Moe. Get your one-on-one appointment all set up. We'll be right back.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. It is our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, and they are doing one-on-one appointments over at Moe's, and you can just call ahead, and they will take care of setting up an appointment with you for your one-on-one framing. They're really trying to go the extra mile here. The front door is locked. But if you call Mo at 795-8226, you can do a one-on-one appointment. So business goes on one-on-one at Mo's. Bruce Ash is with us on the live line, and Don Jorgensen as well on the live line. And Bruce Ash, it's your turn. And Don was saying, really, no one knows how all this is going to turn, about the time frame for this. But Bruce, is it too early to be talking about a road to recovery? Myself, I don't think so.
No, it's not. And in fact, on KVOI this morning on the wake-up show, Dr. Redfield, who runs the CDC, commented that it looks as though this virus may not be quite as deadly as everybody had anticipated it to be, and felt that, you know, there was a road to success as we look forward to this. I know Don was away, and perhaps he wasn't getting all the news that was going on in the country while he was gone, but there's a tremendous amount of work that this president and the administration has done in order to help Americans and to restore some order. You know, this attack of the Wuhan virus was much like what happened to us at the beginning of World War II. We weren't ready for it. Nobody can be ready for Pearl Harbor, and nobody could be ready for what happened to us, as not just here in this country, but across the world. It's taken a while to turn that big battleship around, but we are seeing some of the first signs of dipping of rates. I think, like the Surgeon General, Bill, said earlier over the weekend, this is going to be a very, very difficult week for Americans, and it could go on much longer than that. But we're working together. The government working, or the federal government working with the states, appears to now be able to respond to the shifts and the waves of this illness. We're hoping like crazy places like New York and Florida and California resolve themselves as soon as possible. But it takes some doing to do all of the things that need to be done to have a defense attack against a virus like this. And we're doing it. And the president, I'll just finish by saying this, the president has a very, very difficult job. In one way, he is trying to resource all of the things that America can do to help fight the Wuhan virus. At the same time, he's also trying to be optimistic and to keep people optimistic as possible about something that really is a great threat to their lives and the lives of their loved ones. And it's not perfect. You know, I'm sure that there was all sorts of criticism of Franklin Roosevelt at the beginning of the Second World War, that if you dig down far enough into the history books, you're going to find the same thing with Abraham Lincoln at the beginning of the Civil War. There were some defeats and there were some losses then, as there are now. We're finding, though, that there's more and more victories and more success and more progress that we're making.
Don, let me ask you about a possible rolling, yes, a kind of a rollout plan. You have areas where Seattle, an area you're very familiar with, you're a part-time resident. up in the Northwest. Apparently, the CV virus has peaked up there. Do you kind of envision, Don, a rolling, getting the country back together regional wise? What are your thoughts on that, Don?
Well, I do want to talk about that, but I have to go back and just make a couple of quick points. I'm not going to talk about what's happened the last 3 months, other than to completely disagree with Bruce's characterization of the president's behavior. We've seen just a march of denial and dysfunction. And the one number to remember is 70 days. That's the number of days that were lost when the president called it a hoax and did nothing and people died. And that
didn't call it a
hoax. Happen.
He didn't call it a hoax.
Oh, please. Please go back and look at the
you
record.
You know, don't,
what we've
don't
seen
try to,
is
don't
that,
try to Trump, pull that
Bill,
line shit.
Bruce, you had your time, and now
yeah.
this is.
I didn't lie. You're lying.
Okay, please.
Okay, let me put it this way: it's
one at a time. One at a time, because that, you know, we can't have two people talking over each other. So go ahead, Don.
What we know is that this administration has been catastrophically overmatched. The U.S. had more expertise, more resources, more plans than dozens of countries that are now faring better. And we know that last year and even back to 2018, we had pandemic response plans in place. We had pandemic response teams in place. And Donald Trump cut the funding or closed those down. We know that he was notified in December of the extent of this problem and what could happen, and he chose to ignore it and delayed any response. We know that to be true, and we're continuing to see this kind of dysfunction now with the failure of the federal government to get the supplies out when they were needed, as they were needed. But let's look at today, because you brought up a good question, Bill, about can we see this rollout statewide? We're seeing the effects, the positive effects, in the states that acted early. You mentioned Seattle and Washington. That's where the first death occurred. That's where we saw the greatest numbers the soonest. And because they took the strong actions as a state with regard to stay-at-home orders and closing businesses and all of that, those numbers are now coming down. In fact, they've been able to send ventilators from the state of Washington to other places where they were needed. We're seeing now the curve hopefully plateau in New York City. But we're looking at states like Florida and, unfortunately, Arizona that sat on their hands and did very little and nothing, didn't put in stay-at-home orders. And so those curves are going to be happening much later in these states. The problem with all of this is you can't the virus doesn't recognize state borders. So it's difficult to say, well, we can get back to normal in Washington when those folks can't travel around the country or still do business as usual when you still have the virus active or at behind the curve in these other states. So it'll have to be a very cautious return to I was going to say business as usual, but I don't think we're going to see business as usual. I think we're going to see some fundamental changes, and we're seeing that now, changes in teleworking, people working from home, people cautious okay. about going back out into large crowds and such, let alone changes that now have to occur in the U.S. healthcare system.
All right.
The one other hope we have is changes now in respecting science as well.
All right, Mr. Ash.
Ooh. Well, while the Democrats were pursuing an impeachment and forcing a trial, which they, by the way, delayed by about 3 weeks or so and continued that whole mess, there was quite a bit of distraction. Even when the Congress and the administration came together on a plan, an unprecedented plan of over $2 trillion to help put dollars right into the hands of individual workers, extending unemployment, increasing unemployment benefits, creating half a trillion dollars of SBA loans available. The Democrats, the ones that Don's on their team, with the rest of them, like Nancy Pelosi and their leadership, they were trying to push Green New Deal, voter suppression. They were trying to get all kinds of goodies on their liberal Christmas tree. Clyburn said very well That's, by the way, Joe Biden's savior in this election, Representative Clyburn from South Carolina. He wanted to use this crisis to redefine the leftist issues that the Democrats hold so dear. So, Don, and all of you friends in the Democratic Party, don't be so proud of your activities. So far, Joe Biden can barely even remember how many grandchildren he has. He's going to make a hell of a president. Okay. I'm not too worried about that. He is going to lose this election. Donald Trump is going to win in a landslide, electoral landslide.
Okay. Bruce, thank you very much. Don, we're out of time. And again, Don Jorgensen, thank you. And we're glad you're back safe and sound from your trip Southern Hemisphere. And I look forward to better days along with everybody when we can have you guys in the studio and I can again put on my striped referee shirt. So, thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Call up Moe. They're still open for business on a one-on-one basis. Give them a call. Set up your framing appointment. We have General Wickham after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion of the program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, presented by our friends over at Green Things in Zocalo Village. They want us And I'm gladly conveying the message from Jan and Jack, the owners, to talk about the home gardening. Everybody's into that right now, growing your own food and the whole thing. Well, they are your headquarters for Green Lady Hydro over at Green Things, and they have small home grower ready-made hydro kits. They're easy to assemble, and they've got the various nutrients in the better-known brands. Fox Farm is in their portfolio over at Green Things, also Roots Organic and Ocean Forest. So check out the Hydro Store right inside the Main West retail building on the south side over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, four-star general, General John Wickham. General Wickham was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the Eighth Army in Korea. He is the author of Korea on the Brink, chronicling the very dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan appointed General Wickham Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. General Wickham graduated from West Point in 1950. He retired in 1987 from the Army after four decades of service. The Army Times has named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the Army. General Wickham was a highly decorated combat commander in Vietnam, where he was critically wounded. General Wickham also has written a book of poetry. It's entitled On Life, Love, and Living. It's available on Amazon. He and his wife, Anne, reside in Oro Valley, and it's always an honor to welcome him on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Phil.
General Wickham, we are getting some news out of England. The UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been taken to the intensive care unit. That is certainly not good news. He has the coronavirus. Hopefully things will get better for the British Prime Minister. General, this is probably the biggest health challenge the United States has faced really in at least 100 years since the great Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, it's the worst I've ever seen, Bill, and serious implications for the military. For example, in North Korea or Iran, with their trade is so vital to their economy, their economies, and their trade is restricted now because of the virus. And so because their trade is restricted, they're earning less and they can get fewer of the supplies they need to manufacture goods. So in a way, the virus is functioning as an embargo on their activities, so beneficial. However, they cannot recruit people because of the problems. And also, if you've got a battalion or a brigade or a division, and some members of that unit come down with the virus, you have to hold the whole unit in control. So you cannot make use of that unit in a military role. And we've got the same problem. If you were a battalion commander in the U.S. Army and you have one case of the virus, you cannot use that battalion the way you're used to. So there are some serious implications from this activity, and we're going to be suffering from that for weeks, if not months, and we have to work our way through it. But we can work our way through it. We're going to have to find a vaccine that prevents this flu activity. It's going to take time to do that, but we will. It does reflect the fact that we have not done adequately in the way of preparing for epidemics like this, in the VA or in the Department of Defense or in our government. And we're learning some lessons from that. There's some serious lessons. For example, we got a grandson who is a medical officer major, and he is on a deployment in Africa, and he's facing similar problems in Africa. So it's got implications hurting our family as well as our readiness.
General, can we get you to switch off? You're on speakerphone, and we need to get you closer to the phone. Is that possible, sir?
Yeah.
There we go. There we go. Now we can hear you very clearly. So this is a huge challenge for the United States Army and all of the services, because they are looking at actually the recruiting now is having to be done virtually. What are the challenges, General Wickham, with doing that?
Well, serious problems of trying to recruit that way as opposed to what we've been doing. And it's going to, our recruiting is going to suffer. We're not going to get the recruits. We're not going to get the people that we need. And the people that we do need are not going to be available. So our units are going to suffer. And also our units that are already on active duty in the National Guard or in active duty, they're going to suffer if they get the viruses in various units. They cannot deploy, and they cannot make use of their activity, and it will affect their family life also. So it's got some serious implications, and we're going to have to work our way through it.
We're curious, General. I'm curious, and I know our listeners would like your take on this highly publicized activity with the captain of the aircraft carrier, Teddy Roosevelt. The captain had appealed to his superiors for help after he had some of his crew members coming down with the coronavirus. He was fired for not going through, he did not adhere to a rigid chain of command. And what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts are that we should support the captain. I think he was doing what was right in terms of caring for those people entrusted to him for care and the families that were associated with it. So, yes, he could have used the chain of command better, but he didn't. He used a mechanism like this, but he was doing what he thought was right. And I think because of doing that, the rightness of it, he should not be punished. So I think that the Defense Department has made a mistake by doing this, and we should rectify it and give this man back his command. So I support what he did.
And from your own experience in the with the chain of command, yes, it's rigid, but there have to be certain exceptions, don't there? What's your thinking on that whole chain of command issue?
Exactly, and I'll give you a personal example. When I was in my last official duty was in Vietnam, I was charged as a brigadier general with negotiating a release of all prisoners, thousands of them, including John McCain. And I'm negotiating with the Viet Cong brigadier and a North Vietnamese brigadier, and suddenly in the middle of the meeting in Saigon, they stood up through the interpreter and shouted at me, "We disagree with everything you're asking, and we're not going to agree to anything," and they walked out of the meeting. What am I supposed to do? Well, I did something for which I could have been court-martialed. I violated the chain of command. We were clearing Haiphong Harbor of mines, and not my responsibility at all, but I called the Navy commander on the radio. He didn't know me, and I didn't know him, and I asked him to stop clearing the mines immediately, and he did. And within an hour, the Viet Cong general and the North Vietnamese general came back into Saigon meeting, and they said, "We now agree with everything you're asking on the release of prisoners." I could have, as I said, gone to jail, but I didn't. I did what was right, and I may have violated the chain of command the way the captain of the cruise of the carrier did. So I think we've got to do what was right, and we have to respect our military for doing what they think are the right things and not be very rigid in our outlook. And I think we're too rigid in terms of dealing with this Navy captain.
All right, General, stand by. We are going to take our break right here so we can hear from some of the great supporters of the Buckmaster Show. General, the people that make this program possible. I'm so fortunate to have a great team of people that back us up here with our program. So we'll put you on hold, General. We'll be back to you in a couple of minutes. This is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, The Voice for Trusted News Talk. Be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowland Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, asking Tucson residents to keep Silver City on their future travel plans. When everything settles down, people are going to want to get in the car again. They're going to want to go. They're going to explore, as they always have, a beautiful area of the southwestern United States, that southwest corner of the land of enchantment, New Mexico. A couple of items they're going ahead with right now. They have the Blues Festival, Memorial Day weekend still scheduled, and their big event, the Clay Festival 2020, is scheduled for July 13th through the 19th as a potential light at the end of the tunnel, a beacon of hope. You can find out more. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website to find out about great places to stay and all sorts of activities to do as you start your trip planning for when this is all over and we're all going to want to take off and again see this country and the world. With us on the live line for his monthly visit, retired United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. General Wickham, some breaking news. The United States today warned China not to take advantage of the coronavirus pandemic to exert itself in the South China Sea. This after Vietnam said Beijing sank a troller. So things are starting to heat up in that part of the world, General Wickham.
They are, and China will make use of that opportunity. The Chinese people still believe that the opium wars, which savaged their society for decades, was damaging to their society. And so that the monuments in the square where Mao Zedong resides, his body is, they're monuments to the people that struggle with that. So there are going to be more of this. We're going to see in the South China Sea. So incidentally, the RTA that advertises on your wonderful program, I served on the RTA advisory board for 3 years. It led to the current plan, and the half-cent sales tax is one of the best public experiences that I've ever had. And I urge people to think about getting on that again, because we need RTA support for the future of our beloved Pima County.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some wonderful sponsors here. Our next item has to do with the funding for that region. The United States military officials have said that they're going to start looking at a post-pandemic strategy to counter China's ambitions. A report from the United States Indo-Pacific Command, this was delivered to Congress on Friday, is calling for $20 billion in additional spending between 2021 and 2026. The funds will be spent on new radar, warning systems, cruise missiles, and also pay for more exercises with our allies, deployments of additional forces, and intelligence sharing centers. So the U.S. military now, General Wickham, is asking for more Pacific funding. Obviously, the Pentagon feels this is very much an area we have to keep on top of it, General.
Amen. We need to do that. We need to work more closely with our allies, China and Russia, as opposed, and even Iran is not an ally, but it's a very important nation in the Middle East, rather than to excoriate them the way the administration is doing. That does not lead to progress at all. We need to be much more cooperative and sit down to work out solutions. And we're not doing a good job at that. Another reason for that is that our State Department is only 60% manned with professionals. And if you don't have professionals in the diplomatic world, how the devil are you going to have diplomatic solutions as opposed to military? We need to work more on the diplomatic side, and we're not doing that. And I think the American people and our allies are going to suffer because of that outlook.
Of course, you keep a keen eye on what goes on in Korea. It's interesting, the New York Times points out that the coronavirus is actually idling North Korea ships, achieving what sanctions did not. North Korean ships are distancing themselves from the Chinese ships and Chinese territory, bringing North Korea's revenue stream from they've been so dependent on exports of coal and other commodities. Suddenly, that's being brought to a sudden halt. Would you imagine, sir, that this is going to present big problems for North Korea?
Oh, it does already, Bill. You point out the restrictions that the virus has imposed on North Korean trade have already impacted their revenue stream. They can't deal with it any more than we can deal with the viruses. But they will have to work harder. And so will we, working with the North Koreans to make them move in a more moderate, peaceful way to solutions in the middle, in the Far East. We can do that. We did it with Russia during the Cold War, when the Russians actually gave up thousands of
nuclear weapons and allowed people to inspect all over Russia. So we can do that if we negotiate properly with North Korea. And I don't think we're doing that adequately.
General, how has this coronavirus affected your lifestyle there at Splendido?
Well, Splendido has been wonderful in terms of caring for its residents, bringing food to them, looking out for them. It's remarkable what it's doing. We and their families. As I mentioned, we've got a grandson who is deployed to Africa, and there's a risk for him there, but he's doing his service work. And remarkable that I've got a granddaughter doing medical work at Fort Benning, Georgia. She's a physician's assistant. So we've got members of our families that are reaching out to the military doing work. And so we've got to commend them for their public service, just the way we're doing that with the other people in the armed forces.
Your injuries in Vietnam resulted in a tremendous loss of blood. How did that come back to further hinder you in your later years?
Yeah, good point, Bill. And the medical people were not aware of it at the time. But if you lose a lot of blood from a car accident or military service, one of the problems is a starvation of the optic nerve permanently. And so it leads to blindness. And that's what's happened to me. And why I've suddenly gone almost 100% blind. Nothing you can do about it. It's a good Lord's way of sort of reminding you of the quality of life that he gave you originally. And so you've got to work your way around it. And I'm doing that. So you're right, Bill.
You are getting out for walks thanks to your wonderful service dog animal that you have with you.
That's right. Yeah, we do get out and do wonderful things. The dog is a therapy dog and takes her into our medical facility here, does therapy work with patients. So that's been very beneficial. It's been uplifting. And at the point, good point you make, Bill, that if we as people try to do the right things in our lives, we're going to make the world a lot better, as opposed to being negative and critical of things. Totally. We've got to look for the right things to do and the upscale things to do and make the world a better world.
Amen to that, General. If folks would just show right now during these very difficult times, and I know we're all under a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, try to be show some kindness and grace to people right now. Folks aren't sleeping that well. I know I'm not. Just all the stress and the tension. So we really need to give our friends and neighbors a little space and give them the benefit of the doubt. And folks on social media, please don't shame your neighbors. Let's show a little kindness and grace. General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Great pleasure to talk to you, Bill, and you do wonderful work with your program.
Thank you very much. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow, we'll find out about these big changes for the Arizona Department of Transportation. Shelley Fishman, of course, will be with us. What's going on with the markets? Today, a huge day on the markets. I think the markets close, what are they closing, about a half hour, and they've been up, I think, 1,200 points. So some good news has helped on the market. We'll see what happens. On behalf of John Couch, engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's very popular show on money coming up next. Have a great afternoon. Be safe.